Good afternoon, everyone. Let me thank you very much for being here. This has been a busy time and a time of a lot of speculation in the media and a challenging story to cover from your standpoint. We're aware just as it's been challenging for us to deal with. But let me say at this time, we feel that we have reached a conclusion in our deliberations that is very good for the University of Missouri, and that we've made a responsible decision for the university, for our student athletes, our fans, and our state. We're committed to the Big 12, and we're here at this to take this opportunity to tell you why we are committed to the Big 12. Given the dynamics and volatility of the conference alignment scene that you've been covering, we thought the University of Missouri would be more secure and effectively rewarded by staying in the Big 12, where we have flourished for 14 years. We think this decision is financially responsible, the least disruptive to our fans, and it keeps our historic traditions, rivalries, and competition intact and strong. We believe that our best opportunity was to work to keep our remaining members together, and that was important as we approach this, and to build a new and stronger conference working together. Many alumni and fans were concerned about the future of our historic Big 12 rivalries. We consider those important as well, and we want those to continue. The revenue projections related to the current and potential conference payoffs have the potential to become the second highest in the nation and will enable us to sustain and build a stronger athletic program. We're competing at a high level across the board. Many of our programs, as you're aware, are competing annually for championships, football, basketball, softball, soccer, and gymnastics just over the last several months. MU is the flagship university of this state, and our regional relationships, our proximity to other Big 12 schools are important to us and to our fans, and most importantly, perhaps, to our student athletes from the standpoint of their travel, time, and expense, and the regional economic impact of what we do as an athletic program. Kansas City is right now a new hotbed for college sports, and it's important for us not to disrupt that strong segment of fans that we have on the western edge of the state. We're a 20-sport athletic program, and all of our student athletes and teams are important to us. Their needs are critical related to our continued ability to support the various sports programs and to provide the travel opportunities that our student athletes deserve. We recognize the great value to us of sustaining the Big 12 Conference. We've been willing to consider revenue distribution models that would result in maintaining the integrity of conference membership with the 10 schools remaining, some of which had significant offers but chose to look at more than just the dollar value of their Big 12 membership. Working with my colleagues, CEOs of our various universities on the Big 12 boards of directors, I respect and trust their commitment to the future of our conference and to taking the Big 12 to a new level of collegiality, of support for our academic mission, and of course, the outstanding competitiveness that we now enjoy in athletics. I want to express my deep appreciation to the support of our UM System President, Gary Forsey, who also has worked tirelessly with our entire team on behalf of MU and our conference. And I'd like to turn to him to make a few comments, and we will turn to Athletic Director Michael Alden for a few comments.
Thank you, Chancellor Deaton, and it's good to see you all again today. Let me start by thanking Chancellor Deaton and Athletics Director Mike Alden for their leadership, their diligence, and unwavering passion for what's important to the University of Missouri, to our flagship campus, and particularly related to our student athletes over this process of the last several months. It's been exemplary, and on behalf of the Board of Curators, I want to express my appreciation for the job that they have done. I do want to also recognize General Counsel Steve Owens, who's been intimately involved in this process, as well as the Chancellor, as well and the Athletic Director's staffs. So they have been, again, unwavering in their support for the needs and the analysis that's gone on, and that's been very much appreciated. I'd like to thank the Board of Curators, who, as you know from last week, have been with us side by side, step by step along the way. You should know that at the very top of our list throughout our deliberations over the past many months have been our student athletes. Nothing more important than what we do in this regard related to athletic conference association and affiliation, and now our commitment to the Big 12 has been our student athletes at the top of that list. But in addition to that, the highest respect for the passion shown by our alumni, by all of our constituents and supporter of this great university. I deeply appreciate that, and we have certainly listened, we've engaged, and we've been very active with them throughout this process. I want to thank all of our alumni, all of our supporters for that continued passion for what's going to be a great run for the University of Missouri.
Okay, thank you very much. Mike Alden.
And I'll echo statements from Dr. Deaton and President Forsey as well, but I'll add a few to those as well, too. We have a great staff, as you all know, in the athletic program, 192 people that work here, 502 student-athletes that have had significant success in a lot of areas, particularly over the course of the last 5 years, 6 years, committed to our academic integrity and social responsibility and certainly competitive excellence at the highest levels. The Big 12 Conference is very important to us. It has been, it continues to be, and it will be for a long time. We've had a lot of our successes that have been built and based upon the association that we've had with our colleagues in the conference. And while certainly there are two of those that are no longer with us, and we will miss them because we have a high respect for those two institutions, the 10 together clearly are very, very strong for us and our affiliation with our team for many years to come. There's a lot of history and tradition with our league. I think you all know that. I think we all know the founding members. Some of the founding members a long, long time ago have been together for over 100 years. Iowa State, Kansas State, KU, and Tigers have been together for a long time, since 1907. And the opportunity to continue those traditions, to continue those associations with those institutions as well as the University of Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, Baylor, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State are exciting for us. As President Forsey said, you know, at the heart of all of this are our student-athletes. And our student-athletes have a tremendous experience in the Big 12 Conference. They've excelled academically. They've excelled socially. They've excelled competitively. We have great coaches that have certainly done the same thing and certainly achieved successes at the highest levels in the country, much of that due to the fact that we've been affiliated with such a terrific league. As we know now, we have 10 members in our league, and we know that there's strength in those numbers. We know the future looks very bright and extremely bright, particularly not only from a competitive standpoint, but also from a financial standpoint, too, which is important to all of us as we continue to try to elevate our programs and continue to maintain not only self-sufficiency, but to be able to try to continue to contribute as much as we possibly can to the academic mission of our institution. We're a proud university. We're proud of the association that we have, not only with all of us as Tigers, but with all of us in the Big 12 as well. So we look forward to a very, very bright future for our conference.
Mike, thank you very much. And with that, we're open to questions that you may have.
Bye. Wireless mic here, so if you could please use this to ask the questions.
You alluded to a decision being made. What was the decision between? And as part of that, can you also offer perspective on the Big 12's perception, people in the room during the meetings believing that Missouri was not committed? Can you explain what is different now?
Well, I think when this conference speculation began, gosh, last December, there was a lot of concern being expressed, a lot of speculation. We were asked what we might do. We immediately set in motion a very important series of steps on due diligence of how we would look as a conference compared to other conferences. I think in just simply doing that and indicating that while we were committed to the Big 12, we certainly were open to analyzing what might be best for us as an institution. We owe that to our institution, to the fans, and we've done that all along. And when I speak of a decision, that decision was simply looking at the alternatives we have. We wanted to remain with the Big 12, and that's where we are, and we just wanted to confirm that in the context of we didn't know but a few days ago whether or not we were going to have the Big 12 together. So clearly there was a lot of discussion among, gosh, what happens if only five of us are left, that kind of thing. So that's a kind of a normal discussion you would expect. And so we had a lot of deliberations about how we stood as an institution. Given that the range of schools who had financial offers, as they've indicated from the Pac-10, we wanted to ensure that the University of Missouri was most effectively positioned in that context, and we've done that.
Just one quick follow-up is how was the renewed commitment conveyed to the Big 12? In what way was that expressed that it might not have been before?
It was just an expression to Commissioner Beebe that we were committed to the Big 12 for the foreseeable future, and we're just going forward in that context.
This could be for anyone, but at any point in this process, going back from December until a couple days ago, was there ever an assurance or offer from the Big Ten, an invitation basically to Missouri?
We've had no offer from the Big Ten. We've analyzed data for the Big 12, for the University of Missouri, and conferences around the nation because we owed that. We had consultants working with us on this. We think we've done a thorough job, and we felt given where we were with the Big 12 and the potential of the new media contracts, as we look into renewing the current contracts we have, offered a very lucrative picture as we look to the future. We feel very good financially about where we stand and competitively with the Big 12. Garrett, you want to add
Well, I think we understand the history here that goes back to December when the Big 10 kind of kicked off the national speculation about conference expansion, obviously with their interest in mind, and whether that expansion was all the way through the process, one team or five teams, who knows? They'll have to be the ones that answer that. But the University of Missouri and Mizzou was immediately part of that speculation. So as the chancellor said, our task became, if we were part of that speculation, then to be sure that we analyzed very deeply, did our due diligence, if you will, and what's going to be important to University of Missouri if those discussions occurred. And along the way, we had a chance to sound out our constituents, to find out how important it was for our student athletes to be part of a regional or a local context. We had a chance to find out how important it is for our rivalries to be maintained. We've had a chance to find out how important it is for the history that we've had, certainly in Kansas City historically, with the Big 12 basketball tournaments and the KU-MU rivalry at Arrowhead, but also in St. Louis for those rivalries to be, again, manifested in our state of Missouri. So we've had a chance to, again, be sure that we're grounded in what's important, and that's certainly, as the chancellor said, when we made our commitment last week, it was with all of that perspective in mind and the financial opportunity that we have now with Dan Beebe, to his credit, in the Big 12 meetings in Kansas City a few weeks ago, the ability to get the media discussion on the table. And certainly one of the issues that University of Missouri has expressed is why has the Big 12 conference lagged behind other conferences in terms of the absolute media arrangements. And I think to Dan's credit and to now our Big 12 colleagues, we have brought that forward and now have that as an opportunity for all of us. The rising tide will lift all boats, and the University of Missouri is going to be a big benefactor of that. So I think it'll be up to others to address, what those Big Ten plans may have been, whether it was one all along the way or, in fact, multiple teams to be expanded. And we've been very clear we did not have an offer from the Big Ten when we made our decision to commit to what we think is the best opportunity and the best outcome for the University of Missouri, which has been described.
Mike, can you address, I understand that there is speculation and numbers out there that there is not an actual media agreement that has been signed by anyone. Can you address, in exchange for this pledge of loyalty, what was it that you guys saw that led you to make that? Second of all, is Missouri, fans want to know, in a better place than it was in 7 months ago relative to other teams in the Big 12?
And let me say, I'll take that in reverse order, Gabe, on your question. My answer to that would be yes. It will be and is in a better position than it's been before in the past. The other part of this relative to there is not a television contract that is on the table, a new one, a renewed one at this time. I believe all the due diligence, particularly with Dan Beebe, his staff, our consultants of the Big 12 Conference, and all of the folks that analyze this data have suggested to us, gave every single one of us in our league the beliefs and the confidence that when we do go to the marketplace here not in the not-too-distant future, that the results of that are going to be a significantly increased television package, not only relative to revenue but also exposure opportunities. With all of that, when you go to the marketplace, it is critical with that the market wouldn't sense any hesitancy on the unity of what we were trying to do. And with speculations that abounded out there, whether it had to do with us at Mizzou or whether it had to do with the Pac-10 or one of the institutions perhaps with a different league, when all of that's out there, it's important that there's a pledge and there's a commitment towards being together so that when you take it to the marketplace, you know that you have a locked group of 10 folks. You know, I had someone ask me earlier today, so this is more than you ask, Gabe, but I had someone ask me earlier today about, well, and Vahe, I know you asked a little bit about this. What is this commitment? What is this pledge? You know, we look at this as we're institutions of higher education. And we have a chancellor, and we have a leader, and we have a commitment from our folks that when we come out and say we're committed to something, then we're committed to that. And I believe you heard that perhaps from other press conferences that occurred around our league as well, too. So all 10 of our institutions are committed to that. And with that being said, then Dan and his team and our team in the Big 12 will take that forward, and we expect a very, very successful opportunity in the marketplace relative to not only television revenue but also exposure opportunities.
Follow up to the belief and confidence. I'll play off that. Did you have a belief and confidence in the Big Ten Conference that an offer was coming down the road, and when it didn't, do you feel misled?
We were not engaged in speculation beyond simply doing due diligence, which is what we were, as President Forsey explained in more detail a few moments ago. We examined all alternatives. We wanted to be prepared for whatever might come down the road, and we feel very confident that we have done that very thoroughly and moved up to the brink of this commitment to the Big 12 that was needed to move the Big 12 forward effectively in media negotiations and commitment to keep ourselves together for the future, a conference that we've really built a very strong brand around, and we feel we've invested heavily in that and are very excited about what that will offer for the future.
With apologies, Chancellor Deaton, I don't think you answered my question. Anybody else like to give it a try? I mean, that's the major question I think a lot of your fans are saying is, did you expect, not whether the Big Ten did, but did you expect the Big Ten to offer you a spot?
Well, Mike, I think what certainly transpired over the last 2 weeks, and I think these are questions. If you want to go down that track, you need to go ask the Big Ten or Jim Delaney. From our perspective, we stated clearly in late April, early May, we weren't going to continue to feed the speculation, because at that point in time it was kind of a daily what headlines were appearing around the country. So we opted out of the continuing feeding the speculation. Whatever the Big Ten's process was, they made an offer last week to Nebraska, and that offer was accepted. And that put in motion then a serious set of considerations for the Big 12 to very carefully examine where the Big 12 was going to be. And I think you now know, as a result of the full discussion about that, each member has made their assessments, and the University of Missouri has made its assessment. And we now have committed, based on our looking at the set of facts and based on looking at the opportunities, and I think Mike did a good job describing what we expect that to be with the media contracts, and we are very pleased. We think this is a very good outcome for the University of Missouri, and to continue to speculate on what might have happened or what the Big Ten might have been thinking about, I think that's a discussion that's placed for them, not for us at this juncture.
Mike, when part of the thing that got this started was the inequities between the top teams and the dollars generated in revenue for schools like Missouri. The way that I understand the new possible TV agreement, that's still in place. While everyone is getting more money, as I believe Gary Forsey said, the tide will lift all boats, there's still inequities between the top schools, Texas namely, and where Mizzou would stand. Can you address that, and is that something that you still think is fair, or how that affects Missouri's athletic future?
Well, certainly we've stated our opinion on various aspects of governance in our league, one of those which had to do with revenue distribution and the formula and how it has worked. It will stay the same way that it is right now, the same way that was founded on 15 years ago, and we understand that, we accept that, and we'll move forward with that as well, too. I think in addressing that, then that onus comes back on Mizzou. It's incumbent upon us to win more games and to get more exposure on TV, for games, and to be able to access even more opportunities that is available to everyone else in the league. And so that is something that will not change as far as the formula in the league. It's something we understand. That we've accepted, and we'll move forward with that, knowing that it'll be our responsibility to be able to address that in the way that we continue to improve in our athletic program.
A follow-up to that, you mentioned, generating more exposure nationally on TV. One way to do that, people have estimated, is to schedule harder non-conference games. Will the scheduling philosophy in non-conference football change because of this?
Well, I will tell you, I don't know if I've really sat down and analyzed the philosophy on the non-conference scheduling now. And because we're now in a situation where we're going to play a nine-game conference schedule, which immediately changes it, because now you only have three non-conference games, and the double round robin in basketball, which now gives you 18 conference games. And so now that we're in that situation, you know, we'll sit back, I think, over the course of the next probably couple months, and talking with Coach Pinkel and Coach Anderson and Coach Pinchton and, you know, other folks that are in our department, our coaches, and talk to them philosophically about what we're trying to accomplish, and then also how do we address some of those issues, because there are certain ways that you can do it, and we have to do that. But I want to make sure we're all on the same page, and we haven't had a chance to talk about that yet.
You know, just to add to that, you know, if I may, Cindy Pollard mentioned this morning, gee, what an opportunity we may have in the media to take advantage of our archives, and that was referenced this morning in Dan Beebe's conference about why shouldn't there be a Mizzou network? Why shouldn't we take advantage of the great history that we have and monetize that? So I think stay tuned, but that's an opportunity that in the configuration of the Big 12, then those rights have been held by each of the institutions, and what better way for Mizzou fans and alums and supporters to recognize our rich history and tradition than to sign on. So I think that's an opportunity we have, and why not? Why shouldn't we pursue that? We have the best journalism school in the world. I suspect that could be a task opportunity for them.
You've all said that this paints a very lucrative picture by staying in the Big 12. Any ideas to how much more revenue we'll receive by staying in this conference, and when we'll start seeing some of that revenue?
Mike, you're probably the most up to date on that. You've been working at it all day, 24 hours.
I wouldn't want to specify that from a number standpoint, because, again, with bowl contracts, with NCAA revenue distribution that comes along with appearances in the NCAAs and how that formula is shared, the new CBS contract with the NCAA, and on and on. But, as we looked at this, you're taking the pie, and the pie has not decreased. It's actually going to increase, and we know that already contractually it's going to increase with new bowl revenue already under contract, new television revenue already under contract, and more revenue distribution from the NCAA based upon appearances, and you're going to divide it 10 ways. So, I mean, it's a different way to look at that. So we know automatically that versus dividing up those monies 12 ways, you're going to divide them up 10 ways. And so immediately you know that there's going to be a bump. There's going to be an increase based upon the fact that the numbers have not gone down. So that actually going to be there and going to grow, and you're going to be sharing that with 10 members versus 12. But as far as the specific numbers, we're not, at this time, we're not prepared to do that just because we're still analyzing all those. But it's a pretty significant bump for everybody.
Okay, just a follow-up to that. Will some of that, revenue go beyond the athletic department?
All revenues coming into the university are the university's funds, and we want to ensure in a case like competing in the Big 12 that our athletic programs are strong. Always there's the option and with expectation that if these revenues grow appropriately, there would be funds there for other uses, academic uses in the university. And it's very much part of our thinking as we go forward. And Mike, as part of the chancellor's staff, works on an ongoing basis to integrate what we do academically and athletically. We've achieved some significant benefits there, both for what we're doing academically as well as for the athletic program.
Since feeding speculation is obviously something that is a concern, can you assuage and perhaps mitigate some of the continued speculation that may still be out there amongst your constituency and say that Missouri is unequivocally not interested in joining the Big Ten, whether that be 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years?
We're committed to the Big 12 for the foreseeable future, and we're in for this for the long haul, and we're not anticipating any discussions with other conferences.
So essentially the answer is yes.
Right.
Missouri is unequivocally not interested in joining the Big 12.
Right.
No.
Did I get that right?
Alan, we are.
The Big Ten.
Okay,
Adam.
Thank you. Oh, I was still trying to figure out assuage. I couldn't figure out that word.
Again, the nomenclature is a bit confusing, as the chancellor mentioned.
So just to clarify again, now is there anything aside from the gentleman's agreement among the leadership within these 10 remaining institutions that could stop this or prevent this type of alignment discussion from happening 1 year or 5 years down the road?
I think Dan was very articulate about that this morning. And, you know, the chancellors and presidents met in Kansas City a couple weeks ago and kind of laid out, you know, a set of ground rules over the next couple weeks, given some of the discussions that clearly were underway with the Pac-10 at that point in time. And I think, as you heard Dan very clearly say this morning, and there's obviously been triangulation discussions all weekend between Brady and the chancellor and his counterparts, this is a word and a trust, and that's very well respected within our 10 institutions, and that is ruling the day, and I think you heard that reinforced this morning. And I think, by the way, I think, you know, the league, these 10 athletics directors and 10 chancellors and presidents have certainly, you know, had a challenging time over the past couple weeks. And I think out of challenging times, my expectation, and I think that's been expressed by the chancellor and his colleagues as well as Dan this morning, that that will in fact have the cause of bringing that group tighter together. And I think we look forward to, and I know they do, to that being one of the outcomes.
This is for any of you. You've all said that Missouri is a proud member of the Big 12 Conference, but without any additional revenue sharing coming Missouri's way and with the concessions you've had to make with the buyouts, do you feel that the Big 12 is valuing Missouri's membership?
Can I respond? Would that be okay? First of all, concessions on buyouts, I'm not sure what you were referring to there, because I'm not.
With the $20 million buyout money going to, from Colorado and Nebraska going to Texas A&M, and Oklahoma?
Well, first of all, let me nip that one right in the bud. There is no accuracy to that whatsoever. You know, I think that is the Big 12 Conference, and the Big 12 Conference certainly in its bylaws would exercise their opportunities for any exit fees that would come from any institution that has left the conference. And with that, those monies will come to the league and be distributed accordingly across everyone. But I'm sure that's a decision, you know, that is made by our conference office. But there are no concessions on any of those whatsoever. So I'm sorry I attacked that one of them first. But what was the first part of your question again?
Do you feel that the Big 12 is reciprocating? Do you feel like you're a valued member of the Big 12? You say you're a proud member, but do you feel that the Big 12 is giving you the respect you deserve?
Absolutely valued. We're valued certainly for our competitive strength, and we've shown that by defeating some of the most powerful teams in the conference and keeping up the good fight. I know my pledge to my colleagues in a recent discussion I had with David Bourne, president of Oklahoma, is you may beat us occasionally or frequently, but we're going to be right there making it as difficult as possible for you at every step. And that was my pledge to continue committed to the Big 12, was it would be there showing the toughest competition, what we're made of. And by golly, we're going to win a bunch of those games too. We are valued. We're also valued as a very strong academic institution and one that has worked hard to engage in dialogue with our colleagues on a variety of factors, not just athletic competition, but looking at every way we can to enhance the brand of the Big 12 in terms of the academic progress rate of our athletes, in terms of faculty exchanges and scholarly exchanges, including study abroad opportunities. I led a group of provosts a few years ago when I was provost of the Big 12 for a meeting with the European Union Commission in Europe. We've done those things academically, and it's unfortunate that they haven't gotten as much media attention, of course. I understand that. But have we been working together on a variety of fronts and in a very respected way? Absolutely. And I have no doubt that we're in a new era where that will grow even stronger as we look to the future. And I think that's been the subject of much discussion over the last month as well.
Mike, just to clarify, today Dan Beebe, he said that five schools that were, quote, not being pursued drastically are willing to the withheld revenue for Nebraska and Colorado down the road. We're willing to...
Let me just touch on that, and then Mike, you can make further comments. But what the five institutions did was to agree to a broadly recognized need to amend our bylaws, and that's the only action taken. We've just orally said to Dan, yes, we agree to amend bylaws so that the conference, the Big 12 conference, can approach this kind of a competitive raid, you might say, by other conferences on an incentivized basis. In no way do we expect to be hurt financially by that, because particularly given the context that we were facing with a very significantly new revenue stream, this just seemed to be smart business for us. And again, we examined all aspects of that, upside, downside, and again concluded that we were taking the absolute most responsible step for the University of Missouri and the Big 12.
So it maybe isn't as cut and dried as Dan alluded to today, that there will be those withheld revenue being handed over to Texas, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M?
The same revenue distribution formula applies. Dan will have, as commissioner, we've given some flexibility. This would all be in discussion as we go forward, but there would be flexibility, as I indicated, to do the proper thing from a business management standpoint, which would always be reviewed by the board and a decision made for what's in the best interest of the conference.
But the catalyst for all of that discussion goes back to, again, the initiative that was taken 2 weeks ago at the Big 12 meetings, the notion of either bringing forward contract negotiations to occur early, which again gave confidence without, you know, the exact numbers being outfitted just yet, gave confidence to all of the 10 members that, you know, the prospects in the Big 12 were going to be, you know, not just as good, but better perhaps than, you know, the transition costs associated with those teams in the Big 12 South and making that move. So that, you know, that's been very clear without, you know, definitive contracts being done on the media side. That's been the, I think, the breakthrough that's occurred in the last couple of weeks of the recognition that we can do this. We can do this, and others don't have to cast about to find if revenue were all that was of interest to those schools. We're going to do that just fine here in the Big 12.
So to clarify, the conference now has more power in deciding how revenue is split? You mentioned that you
more flexibility. We have more flexibility. We've worked to ensure that our bylaws, and the bylaws are always a point of discussion as we go along as board members and looking at how we're faring as a conference. And we've proposed an amendment to the bylaws that would give flexibility for appropriate revenue distribution to strengthen our business model.
So the members wouldn't vote on that. That would be up to the Big 12.
No, we would. That would be with agreement among the board.
And that's for annual television distribution, or just what comes with penalties?
That would be subject to the board action at any stage. I mean, in other words, we have a formula set in place, and as we amend it as we go along, then different results may occur. But we actually have not met, as you're aware, I think, since we engaged in these negotiations.
This is primarily for Mike, but also perhaps for the Chancellor. Just in terms of a timeline on this, it's my understanding you had the meeting with the coaches yesterday, and they did not come out of that meeting knowing this, and then around 5 or so, Texas announced it. At what point did you know this was happening? Was it cause for celebration? Just take us through that, if you could, please.
Well, yesterday I had a coaches meeting, which I have on a monthly basis, and which is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Agenda items being performance evaluations, vacation scheduling over the course of the summer, and summer camps and clinics, in case you were interested. You know, after that, for whatever reason, you know, there was an announcement that had come out that the University of Texas, I think at that time, if I may, I believe that's correct, said that they're going to remain in the Big 12. And so, for whatever reason, that happened at that time. For me, I had no knowledge base that would be happening at that time. That was a decision that I'm sure that President Powers and DeLoss and Chris were going to be making in Austin. And they made that announcement. You asked if that was a cause for celebration. Yes, I think it's great because the Big 12 conference continues to hang together. You know, we want to make sure that the 10 of us go forward. And I think knowing that there could be an opportunity for some of our institutions to be able to leave, one of those being Texas, and they made a conscious decision to say, no, we have entertained this offer and we're not going to do that. We're going to stay right here. Absolutely, I think that's important because I think it's important for all 10 of us in our league to stick together. So, yes, it would be, in answer to your question, yes, it was something that we were all very, very pleased to hear.
Sorry, a mindless follow-up. Was it premature then for there to be an assumption upon Texas's announcement that the Big 12 was still staying together?
I don't understand your question.
Was it automatic when Texas said it was staying that the Big 12 was together and that you guys were, that you already cast your vote, so to speak?
Well, no, I think that each institution was going to make their decision on what they're going to do. I think earlier today, Texas Tech came out and publicly declared that they were going to be staying with the Big 12. So No, it wasn't specifically geared towards Texas, although they were the ones that had made an announcement at that time. But I think that when Texas A&M came out and said that, or Senator Boren said that, or Oklahoma State, or whoever, yeah, absolutely. You know, no, I don't. I would hope no different than when Missouri came out and said we're committed to the Big 12, or Iowa State was, or you know, KU, or whoever that may be too. So
there were a number of boards meeting, just to follow up, Vahe, as you're aware, and been reported upon from our own board, getting updates, being in position to. In case something did fall apart, that could alter our discussion, certainly. And we were prepared to address those issues if they arose. It occurred as board after board met that the whole thing was going to hold together, and we were excited about that in so many ways. And, you know, honestly, it shifts the national dialogue a bit about the 16-conference mega-conference. This is a step for us saying, no, we can make this, after, even with the loss of two very important institutions, we can make it go with 10, and we can strengthen our competitive scheduling, and we can come through this stronger than we were before. And on behalf of a little less travel costs for our student athletes and time, very critical for us. And so it was a good competitive decision and academic decision.
For anyone that wants to take a stab this time, and if your answer is that you've already answered it and I simply don't understand, that's fine. But you know, it may seem like a minor deal, but what Dave asked about is an issue that really seems like a major deal. The penalties from Nebraska and Colorado, if it's $20 million, it goes to the Big 12. Are you saying you expect that to be distributed $2 million to each school? Or that is completely out of your hands?
I can answer that, I think, and I will welcome Mike or Gary if they want to make further comments. But money that comes into the conference is shaped by conference policies, and it's the board of directors that will help shape what happens to any money coming in to the conference.
And so with that, Gabe, again, the question that you asked earlier, I mean, we would have no reason to believe why penalty fees or exit fees from institution, our bylaws indicate exactly what those are. And so for those folks that have suggested that, well, that's something that that's on the table now, you guys aren't going to get those. Well, I hadn't heard that, and none of us in our league would believe that, because we believe our bylaws and we understand that an exiting member is subject to either an 80 or 90% penalty. And when those monies come in, then the league would accrue those monies. They'd put them in an account, like an escrow account or a savings account, and then they would distribute those monies based upon the policies that we have within the league. So there won't be one person making that decision. That's a league decision. But generally, of course, we haven't had exit fees before, so generally when we do recover those exit fees, and I know Dan and our staff is consistent with saying that we will do that, then those monies would come in, they'd put in a holding account, and then they'd be distributed according to the policies and the procedures we have in the league.
And Gabe, you know, you may be, you know, again, hearing this in a different context. I mean, Nebraska has said, well, gee, we're not sure that applies. Well, that may cause the board to say, well, gee, let's don't, you know, start distributing money we don't have yet. So that's, and we've been following this all afternoon about, you know, tiers and all this other, you know, no, it's just not that way.
There's a video of T. Boone Pickens that's widely distributed. I suspect you've all seen it. If not, he basically says he doesn't care about Missouri, and I realize he's not an official at Oklahoma State, but he is the money man at Oklahoma State. Do you think that is reflective, as some do, of a widely held, rather disparaging view of Missouri by the people that you have to go forward with?
No, I certainly don't think so, let me say. And I have not seen the video or heard the comments, and that's sort of a surprising comment. And would run counter to most of the interaction we have, for sure.
Boone Pickens spoke at our Energy Summit here in Columbia a year ago. He left here with two or three Mizzou hats in hand to add to his collection. We are part of a Big 12 conference which has incredible academic and research standing. Some of the best in the world make up the Big 12. And all of our institutions ought to be proud of that, and that's what we'll carry out of this last couple of week period of time and strengthen all those relationships going forward. That'll start certainly up here, but importantly with our researchers, with our faculty, and with student competitiveness that always takes place. That's going to be our tone and our attitude.
In addition, Mike, let me just say that as someone who's labored in the academic vineyards for many years now, I've had colleagues, close working colleagues, from the time I began in 1972 as a faculty member at the University of Tennessee, with faculty members in all the Big 12 institutions. I value them. I could take the next hour talking specifically about significant contributions to research made by faculty at each of our colleague Big 12 institutions. We value them highly. We engage in collaborative research and educational programs with them and distance education programs with them. We, as I said before, we take them to Europe with us or go with them on very important policy matters facing the country and the world today. We have engaged in faculty exchanges across the Big 12 and have an ongoing program in that regard. And I think out of this deliberations we're involved in now, all that will be re-strengthened because we've all are looking at this commitment as a long-term commitment, and we're going to get the most out of it as academic institutions as well as athletic competitive institutions.
This is going to be our last question in this portion, please.
You mentioned earlier about Kansas City being a hotbed of activity. I'm just curious if you could elaborate on exactly what you mean. And my second follow-up question would be, in speaking with city leaders in Kansas City, what did they tell you about how much the city either wants or needs, you know, the Big 12 to survive, you know, tournaments and that kind of thing?
Let me just say a word, and then I'll turn to President Forsey, who's, of course, a resident of Kansas City as well and long active there in the business and leadership community. But let me just say the Big 12 was very happy to be able to place the men's and women's basketball tournament in Kansas City. The new Sprint Center is phenomenal. We work with Kansas City in so many ways, academically and business and educationally. And that's going to be strengthened, we feel, also by the Big 12 program that we have outlined for us right now, which is very effective competition.
Well, I think it cuts very broadly. You know, for the citizens of Missouri that have had the passion for our great institution for, you know, 170 years, this is part of our fabric. And that runs from Caruthersville to Kansas City to St. Louis to, you know, to Joplin. So that's part of the fabric of our state, and we understand that, and that was a high-value part of the discussion that we've been through. Certainly for Kansas City and the history of the Big 8 basketball tournament and the rivalry hotbed there with KU and K-State, you know, it's very important. It's critically important. And having just been awarded the Big 12 basketball tournament for 3 years, we know what that means, the basketball, College Basketball Hall of Fame at the Sprint Center. All that's part of the fabric of what makes the Big 12 so important to this region, and I think affected, frankly, and you heard that, heard those comments from the Chancellor's colleagues yesterday. They thought about the importance of the Big 12 to this region. Some of this, it is local. It's not necessarily national, and the regional aspect of that, the importance to our state is something that we reflected on, and certainly we made specific comments about Kansas City, but I think it's a broader statewide issue, St. Louis, Kansas City, and all corners of the state. This is a very important issue.
And let's not forget Arrowhead Stadium, if we haven't mentioned it already.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much, and thanks to everyone for coming out today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your interest and your patience as we've labored through this process. Thanks.